Thank you, Miriam. Why don't you guys grab this for him? All right. Take your Bibles and go to Proverbs chapter 11 tonight, and I just want to say a few things while they get set up there. And I think sometimes, you know, phrase, here am I, Lord, send me. And tonight, where we are going to be in the Scripture, I just want you to know God is so good. He wrote a perfect Bible. And I believe he's an all-knowing God, and he could look all the way down through the ages. And he's so timely that even though Pastor Carter started this book, and I just took it over to keep teaching, a book of wisdom, I didn't measure out the time. I just have taught and got to where we're going to be at tonight, and we're going to deal with money. But it doesn't have to just be about money. There's a lot of things that we could talk about in the Scripture that we're going to see here tonight. And so we'll teach it faithfully like we would if it was any other time of the year. But I don't want you to get bent out of shape and think we manipulated the book. God wrote the book, and we're just going to teach it. Amen. And we're going to be right where he taught it. And again, we are, over the next few days, going to be talking about some things on the radio and different parts of our ministry. But if you just happened in tonight and you're a visitor, I hope you understand that we don't always teach in the same thing every week in the same area of the Scripture, and we just kind of came upon this verse, and I'm excited about it. It's something, if we get a hold of the truths of the Scripture about money, we would be so much better off. If we follow God's plan, not just in the way we live or the way we dress or the way we drive or all these different things, but about money as well, we'd be better off. Let's pray before I head down there tonight. Dear God, I do thank you for your many blessings. God, I thank you for bringing all these people. I know many of them will work today. God, I pray that you'd be with them. Bless them, God, for being in your house tonight. God, I pray that you just give us all, as we've most of us have labored today, and some are weary, God, I pray you'd give us ear to hear. Holy Spirit of God, I pray that you would just be the illuminator of the Lord Jesus' book, and God, that you would just show us the truth that you want us to have tonight. Help us to take it with us. In Jesus' name, amen. Hebrews chapter 11, I'm just kidding. Proverbs chapter 11, I couldn't help it. Amen. I couldn't help it. Amen. For the tape room, I know we don't always put a title on Wednesday night, but I think I want to tonight. And it would be Tipping the Scales in My Favor. Tipping the Scales in My Favor. And you say, Brother Parsons, that's a long one. That's a long title, but I think you can see it. When I was a kid, I remember way back in Sunday school, and the way that they would get boys and girls to give was they had made themselves a scale. And it was measured out just right, and they had 5-gallon buckets, and they would encourage us to go home and dig into every one of the cushions and the car and steal from mom's purse. I mean, you know, do whatever we had to do so that them stinky cootied girls would not beat us on Sunday morning. Amen. We did not want them girls to win. We had to bring more change. It had to weigh out, you know. And so I was trying to tape lead to the back of my pennies and do whatever I could do to throw the weight into our favor. Amen. I wanted to tip the scale to make it weigh out the way it is. Now, all of it was good. It was teaching us a good principle that we could give to God. Now, sometimes sometimes when we try to do right, we don't always do it the right way, do we? And sometimes we don't always do right with the right motives. All right. But when it comes to giving and some of the things we're going to talk about tonight, we can apply them to so many things on this earth. But God not only cares about what we do, but the heart in which we give it. The way we give it. Amen. I've heard the old time preacher talk about, you know, it's good to give and to give with joy. You know, it's hard when we put it into plate. It's still right to put it into plate until I can do it with joy. But sometimes I've watched a few when they first started it and they weren't sure whether it was going to work the way God said it was. I've watched them watch it a long way down the aisle. Amen. But I know this, if they gave, even though they may not get all the blessings that they could have got if they gave with joy, God still was going to be faithful. God still was going to honor what he said he was going to do when he told them, if you give it, it's mine. And again, I really believe in all the different things of the Bible when it talks about, you know, I make money and God wants me to tithe off my money. And he doesn't say he's always going to give it back to me, but he says if I don't give it to him, he's going to drill holes in my pockets. okay? And that it'll just run out. And I'll go, where in the world did it all go? And I think we serve a good God. If God only takes 10% and lets me keep the 90, he's a pretty good God. It's all his anyway, folks. He's a pretty good God. And I know there's folks, and I know that there's arguments about tithing in the New Testament and 10%. But if we ran that rabbit to its end, you wouldn't want me to preach on that because you'd be ending up giving more than 10%. Okay? You run that one to its end, it ain't going to be less than 10. It's going to be more than 10, all right? And so again, but that's not where we're at tonight. We're right here. I want to go back before, and again, I want you to get context. In the book of Proverbs, we don't always find, in context, the entire chapter in context, but I believe this chapter is following a line of thinking. It seems random verse to verse sometimes because it is wisdom and it's just kind of sometimes these are dark sayings. The Bible even uses that terminology. But here in the very first verse of the chapter, it gives us this idea of weights and balances. And it's going to kind of work through itself. Even what we talked last week about a pig with a jewel in its snout, that is not right. That's a false balance. That's out of whack. That's not the way that it should be. So look at verse number one in the chapter. It says, "And a false balance is an abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight." God delights when we get in on his plan, and when we weigh the balances, we make sure that it's the way he would weigh it out. We could go to Proverbs chapter 20, and it talks about a diverse weight. That means constantly changing the scale from one to the other. You know, every year when people haul corn, and again, I'm a farm boy. I grew up on the farm. And when you haul a bushel of corn and a bushel of, you know, every year the price changes on that. But one thing that doesn't change is the size of the bushel. The bushel's the same every year after year after year. And when you go manipulating the weight of the scale, tipping the scales into your favor, you're going to get in trouble. People get caught doing that and they get fined. People get caught doing that and they get put in jail. In the Old Testament, they may have gotten thrown in jail or maybe a hand cut off or maybe even somebody take their life for messing with someone else's livelihood. And so as we see this false balance right here, then we're going to go, let's go down, and we started last week in verse 22. We made it through 22 and 23. We're going to start in verse 24. "There is that scattereth and yet increaseth. And there is that withholdeth more than is meet, but it tendeth to poverty." I want to give you a few verses here. I'm going to read the next verse so that I can give a couple definitions, and then we'll take off. I'm going to probably pick up the amount of my speech, my words, put them a few more in the same sentence in a shorter fashion. All right, and so in verse 24, it's talked about scattereth. Now look at verse 25, the liberal soul. Now we don't always like that term, and we call, we sometimes call the liberals that, and we're being a little mean, but at the same time, we are using it in context, but we're being as nice as we can possibly be. We could call them some other things, but I'll define this. So the liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that watereth shall be watered also himself. So we're going to spend time in these two verses here, and the first verse is dealing with scattereth. He that scattereth, and then the word liberals. All right, I'm going to define both of those for you so that we're in context. We're in the definitions that we, not necessarily that we have put on words, but the actual definitions of the words. You know that we use words differently, and the world is consistently and constantly changing. Not only the definition of marriage, but of other words. They took the word gay and tried to hold on to it for themselves. And gay doesn't mean happy. A generation before me used the word gay, and they just talked about they were having a gay day, and it was the greatest thing. And for the generation that has come now, for them to hear that, that is funny. That is, I can't believe they said that. And again, they have perverted the definition. So let's go back, set a definition that we know is true. So scattereth, the word is simply, we'd have to look at the word scatter, and it's an action verb, all right? It's in, I'm not an English major, but it's an intransitive. It doesn't have to have a direct object. If you don't know what that is, that's what it means. So the intransitive verb here is trying to say when it's talking about scattereth, it doesn't have to apply to just one thing. doesn't need a direct object to be. So we could talk about scattering numerous things. Tonight, our focus is on Restore-a-thon. Most people, we think about money, but you could talk about your time, folks. Do you know the Lord doesn't just want your pocketbook? God wants you. And when he gets all of you, he'll have your pocketbook too. All right? And so I'll just say this, and I'll give you the message before it's done, and just say this: God desperately wants all of you to have fellowship with all of him. And he wants you to walk with him, and he wants you to give yourself to him wholly. And I pray, I promise you this, all right? When you give all of you to God, for God to have all he wants to do and be done in your life, you will definitely tip the scales in your favor. You will never be sorry you did that. When you talk about your time, when you get to the end of your life, you surely won't go, boy, I wasted my life. You'll be thinking, I wish I had more time to give unto the Lord Jesus. When you think about your money, nobody ever got to the end of the road and was sorry what they gave to God. Nobody ever, ever gave their children wholly to the will of God and ever came to the end of their life and said, I wish I had kept my children back for myself. Nobody's ever said that, folks. And nobody's ever going to say that, because we serve a great God who loves us and is so good to us that even though we know heavenly blessings and heavenly rewards on the other side are going to be the ones that we truly know are going to really be overflowing. And again, we could talk about the motives and that baptism of fire of our works and reward. But even on this side of heaven, God is not slack concerning his promises. Whatsoever a man soweth, and that ain't just talking about sin, that shall he also reap. You may not see every dollar you gave in the plate, $2 come back, because if you did, you'd probably have the wrong motive. We'd probably have a bunch of lost people in the church house trying to get a 50% return on their money. And so God isn't going to do that, because he wants people to truly accept Jesus Christ, not for monetary gain, but because they need him, because he wants to have them give themselves wholly to him. But here, this scattereth, it means this: to be liberal in giving to the needy, to be charitable. That scattering, all right? That scatters means to be liberal. Now, there's several different, and we could talk about it. When I think about the word scatter, I think, or scattereth, I think of a farming terminology of casting seed, sowing seed in the field, and spreading it out. When we go into the field, when we've already done our corn and our beans and we go back, we usually broadcast spread wheat or rye or some type of a grassy material that doesn't matter if it's in rows. It can just grow wherever it wants to grow. As long as it falls on some good ground, it'll come up. And again, the Bible has great terminology. Jesus told some great stories about the sower that went out to sow. And he sowed the good word of God. Listen, folks, I want to be in. When we talk about giving in the local church, know this: when we come to Restore-a-thon, we're not just sowing any kind of word. We're sowing the good word of God. We're sowing the perfect word of God. We're sowing the inspired word of God in the King James Bible. We're not just spreading anything. That radio station's got standards. That radio station's got a purpose. It's got a plan to reach people, not just in Haines City and its local areas that it reaches out to, but around the world. And so when we go to scattering, when we talk about you, this is talking to you personally, telling you that you're wise. Look, it says here, you say, well, Brother Parsons, do you, Pastor, really think that this is going to be that time that, you know, when I scatter or I give to Restore-a-thon, that there's going to be souls in my account? I could never tell you which ones God took your dollars and which ones he saved through your money, but I know that we serve a God that can. And I know that I'll stand before him someday, and for my little DMC or my little piece of whatever I did during the radio station, I know God's going to dial it all the way down. And he's going to say, on the day that Randy Smith wrote the check and it went out here, that day it clicked off. And man, I tell you what, you say, no, it didn't happen like that. Oh yeah, God's going to mark her down. And he's going to know exactly where your dollar went. And the blessing of the local church is we get to bind together as one body and our money. And I believe this, because I'm a member of the local church, I'm not just going to get my dollars, I'm going to get what my church did. in missions. I'm going to get the collective growth of what, that's why, folks, when I, and again, I don't want to get you kind of tingly feeling or weird, okay, but if you're a part of the local church, you're a part of a body of believers that moves together to complete the great command or the great commission of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we give in missions, the great blessing of that, yes, I'm going to get blessings for my part. But if I took part and my church had a part of it, I'm a part of something. Folks, if you're just here, I'm thankful if you're a part of our church and you give to that. But there's going to be blessings for being a part of this local church and what this local church did because I'm a member of the local church, not just because I attended the local church. There's going to be a difference. And I'm not preaching on that tonight, but there is a difference between being baptized into the body of believers in this place. I'm thankful for your fellowship. I'm thankful for your attendance. I am thankful. And you say, well, you're just trying to get me on the roll. Folks, I haven't read the roll all the way through. There's a lot of people on the roll, and there are people that sit in here and that attend and are faithful, more faithful than some people that are on the roll. And I'm thankful for you, and I'm not getting after you. I'm just telling you, if I was you, I would want my scattering to be counted as a member of the Landmark Baptist Church. When you stand before God, I guarantee you the standing of a member of that local church, okay, that standing of being in the body of Christ is going to be a better standing than being outside of his body. Amen and amen. Now, that's not popular. Nobody wants to write books on it because all you're going to get is ridicule. Okay? And if I took off to preaching about Landmarkism and the name that the church has and what we truly believe, you would make, I mean, some of you, the top of your head would fly right off. But I can tell you this, the people that scatter that are inside the local church, they're going to increase. Folks, I'm telling you, God is so good. And then he not only, even inside the definition of scatter or scattereth, you're going to find the word liberal in there. So the word liberal is of a free heart, free to give or bestow bountifully, generously, and giving largely. Now, when we talk about the believer giving to God that way, it sounds like a pretty good term. But now you know why we named the liberals that way, okay? And again, I wouldn't be so bad if they wanted to give freely to Americans. But, you know, They want to give freely to everyone who ain't. All right, I'll just go on and say it, you know, that 9% of that big fat bill that they tried to pass and working on, that 9% is all that's going to go to the American people, folks. And they can say till they're blue in the face, we're going to build this train or we're going to give it to Amtrak's. I'm going to tell you, I mean, I know that the train goes up and down the rail, and I know that it benefits a lot of different businesses, but I don't know. You know, you can only do so much. When something continues to fail and fail and fail and fail, at some point you got to let it fail because it ain't doing it right. Or give it to somebody else that can make a success out of it. The government is a bad businessman on some things. Amen and amen. So they need to scatter some things so it can increase. Amen. So, but I do see in verse 24, if you look at the verse again, he says, there is that that scattereth and yet increaseth, and there is that that withholdeth more than is meet, but it tendeth to poverty. The Bible is not, it's so good to lay out a good area of wisdom. It doesn't tell you to give everything you got, folks. It didn't say what you ought to do is go broke and give it all to the church and then watch it all come back in. That ain't what it says here. It says that it's going to be good for us. You're going to, if you scatter what you have, you're going to yet increase. Some of you already practice this. You just don't practice it through the local church. You try to scatter it in Tesla stock. You try to scatter it over here in IBM or Microsoft, or you try to scatter it over here. You want to have a diverse portfolio, all right? But I can tell you this, when I want my portfolio to have a big piece of the Lord Jesus Christ in it. I want to make sure that when I get on the other side, that the gains that I gained were on the other side, the place I'm going to spend eternity, not the place that I'm going to leave it all behind. Amen. You say, well, I'm going to leave it to my kids. Good. I think you ought to have a heritage for them. I'm going to leave it. I believe that this Bible is true, and this Bible says that it stops this scattereth and increaseth. Then it says, and there is that withholdeth, and it says this, more than is meat. So it tells me that there is a piece that you ought to hold back for you. There is wisdom in holding a piece that you're going to hold on to and you're going to save and that it's going to build and you have some capital. You know, the old way, when I grew up, I never saw zero down housing. I don't know how we did that. I do fear, and you say, I'm not trying to be a fear monger. I'm just going to tell you, that housing market busted once. All right, and it about killed us the first time. And I don't even know that they were doing zero down housing then. And so, we're doing some crazy stuff, folks. Come get you a car. You don't need to put nothing down. Just take it. They never did that when I was a kid. Amen. Richard would have had 6 cars. Amen. I'm just here to tell you, we sometimes when we look at the world and say, oh, this is all good, some of those times they're trying to entice people to buy things that they don't need. And one of the blessings is of being able to save and to look forward to something is realizing that you're not, when you can just say, well, it don't cost me nothing to go sign on the dotted line. It does cost you something, folks. Because the borrower is servant to the lender, according to the scripture. And so again, when we go through some of this process of what the scripture is going to tell us, it's good for us. It's good for us to practice biblical wisdom in the things that we do. And it's good to withhold something so that you have something to put down. But listen, if you've got a lot, then you can scatter more than someone that has a little, because you still have something to withhold. For the person that has a little bit, they have something, but it gives us this, and the Bible actually measures it. And I know this, that I serve a God who I'm saved, and I have an indwelling Holy Spirit that lives in me. And I can tell you that I have good sense, and I have other people, if I didn't, I could ask about it, and they could tell me what's meat for me to hold on to. And I believe the Holy Spirit of God, I got a good one that lives inside of me that's so good, he'll give me a good witness of what's right. Yeah. Do you know that it's even good for us to save? Because when we're talking about that house, when you go put down money on it, you feel like part of it's already yours. Right. You've got an investment. Amen. We see people all the time buying houses and leaving them because it didn't cost them anything to get in it. What's the big deal? I can go bankrupt and I can walk on down the street. All I got to do is serve 7 years and I can get another one. Say, Brother Parsons, that's not popular preaching. I didn't come here to be popular. You preach the truth and sometimes you're not popular with those things. He talks about how he scattereth and then it increases, but then that sometimes when we withhold more than is meat, it says, but it tendeth to poverty. If we applied sowing and reaping and we talk about this scattering to the same thing of withholding, think about a farmer that decides, I don't know. That field, there was a little dry last year. I got 100 acres, but that 25 over there, it don't really yield that much. I think I'm just going to plant the 75 acres and I'm going to plant it heavy and I'm going to hold that corn back and I'll have it. No. Every farmer, he'll plant his field, and if you don't care, if you don't watch him, he'll plant on your land, right up on the edge of you. Every place I've ever been, they'll plant the corners, they'll plant everything, and they'd plant the backyard if they could get Dad to let them plow it up and plant it. Everywhere I've ever been is that way. They'll plant everything because they realize they're never going to reap what they don't sow. And in this life, when we think about the Lord's work or anything that we're going to go about and we're looking to have a reaping, then we have to give, we have to spread, we have to scatter if we're looking for a return on it. I'll say this, if you want to have a good time with Restorathon, then you're going to need to be part of it. Last year, I watched the teenagers get excited about Restorathon, and they didn't give. I don't think that they made the goal go over the top, but they had a piece of it. And you know what they had, I believe, more of a piece of? Their energy. Every revival that's ever been started almost in history always started with that teenage age. They got on fire. They got excited about what was going on, and they poured their energy into it. Now, most teenagers ain't got a bunch of money, but they got a pile of energy. And they got a pile of excitement. A pile of them are serving now over there with the younger kids and trying to serve and put back into the ministry here. But I'll tell you this, we need to scatter. Sometimes at different times you have more time. As a younger man, I had time and I could give my time. And as I grew and had more money, I could give more money. Because when I was young, I didn't have money to give, but I had time. And so sometimes as I've grown, I didn't have as much money as I did talents that I could give to the Lord. And so God doesn't always ask us to scatter money and be like some person that's got a bunch of money. Sometimes God just wants us to bring our talents and scatter them in the work of God. Sometimes God wants us to come in and use our talents for those things. Sometimes God wants us to scatter our money because he gave it to us for that reason. God has such a great blessing for his church. And again, we've talked about it over and over again, but the body of Christ is made up that way. Not everything is hands. Not everything's arms. Not everything's legs. Not everything's going to be the shoulders. Every part fitly framed together for the master's use, for us to be able to work together. So if every part of us do what we can do to see a victory, not only in Restore-a-thon, but every Sunday in the work of God, every Saturday in the work of God out on bus visitation, every Thursday, every Wednesday, every Tuesday, every Monday, then the work of God will go on and press on the old time way, just like it always has, because we've scattered ourselves are what God has blessed us with in his work, and he is going to bless that, and he's not going to let it return void. It will grow. You can't go soul winning and not see a return. You may not win a soul, but somebody down the road will be able to pluck the seed that you planted. You may go out and you may not see somebody saved, but you may water the seed that somebody else threw down, and then sometime you're going to go out and you'll be the one that reaps the one that watered and set and put seed in. You say, Brother Parsons, is it really like that? It's really like that, folks. There's been week after week after week that sometimes you think, man, I don't know what I'm doing out here. I don't feel like I'm getting anywhere. But then when I pull my bus around the corner and I knocked a bunch of doors and man, I had a bunch of promises and I pulled up and they didn't get on. But then I pulled to the next house, and that house that normally has two had 10. I said, where'd all these come from? I had a sleepover. Praise the Lord. And God meets the goal, but he didn't want me to get my head swole up like, hey, I went knocking doors. Look at that. I had these people lined up. No, God gave the increase, and he did it his way. He didn't do it my way. I was just trying to get in on his plan. Folks, you know, there's been so many times, the few Restore-a-thons that I've been able to be an intricate or deep part of the Restore-a-thon, God has never done it the same way. He always follows a different line. He always does something different. But every time, there are faithful people that, I mean, you can count on them. They're faithful, and they're there. They're a key piece. But again, God does it a different way. Sometimes the people that give, I mean, you know who you are, and you give, and sometimes you do it a different way. And those of us that are up there waiting on it to come in, preacher would say amen to it, we're wondering when they're going to call. Amen. Amen. And then we wonder, man, I praise the Lord, they did it early this year. Amen. They didn't make us sweat it. Or praise the Lord, man, they came through. Amen. Thank God they're still faithful. You, Brother Parsons, you say, preacher, I don't know. I'm just telling you, I know this, that every time, sometimes when I'm standing on this side of the scale, and that's God's side of the scale, it don't make sense to me how I'm going to gain by throwing my weight on that side. But you will every time. Every time, because he's God, and God's way don't always make sense, because his ways are not our ways. They're a little higher than our ways, and one day I'll understand it. One day when I see him face to face and I stand before him, I'll understand those things. He goes on and gives us some great things here in the scripture. He talks about that liberal soul shall be made fat. The preacher that we went and saw down there, he was telling us about his weight loss program that he was on, and it was a weight gain program, but he just manipulated the scales. Amen. He said, my wife went down to the Walmart, and he should have known better than right then. But she got one of them digital scales. And if you know anything about a digital scale, it ain't like the old school ones. You know the old school ones where you tap the weight down? And tap it down, and tap it down until it gets right, you know? Them things don't lie, folks. I mean, they have that just weight and balance on them. But them digital scales, depending on how you stand, You know, I found at my house, I've got tile, and if I get it just in the right crack of that tile, I can say, look at that, honey. I'm doing pretty good. Told you. Amen. Amen. She said, put it like this. Amen. I don't want to get on it. But, you know, he talked about that, and he talked about how, you know, he thought he was doing pretty good because he was able to manipulate the weight. But we're going to stand before the Lord one day, and we're not going to be able to do that. We're not going to be able to squirm and justify the means and the things that we did. We're going to have a just weight. We're going to have a just God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, listen, if you're saved tonight, he's not going to judge you for your sin. But the opportunities of the gifts, talents, and money that he invested in you on this side of heaven to reach the world for Jesus Christ through your local church and say, Brother Parsons, I really believe that. That weight, I mean, what a picture of not being able to do that. We're going to stand there, man, it's going to be a true judgment. It's going to be a true weight. We're not going to be able to fake it, change it, jump it. But then, you know, I thought about this, and he goes through this, and he says, a liberal soul shall be made fat. That person that is going to, it says here, that definition was of a free heart, free to give or to bestow, bountifully, generous, giving largely, he says. You know, and again, please don't always just say, you know, I know where we're at with Restorathon, but it's not always money. You know, there are people that at churches, I remember, you know, I went home to my home church and that I grew up in when I left college and went to on staff there, and we pulled into the house, and I have never moved into a staff house that I did not immediately have to work on something in that house. Never. And I mean that house was a good house. The men of our church had been working and working and working, trying to make sure it was right. But they knew I was a plumber, and so they had done all the floor, so they left me the toilets to sit. Right? Well, that's an important thing. But, you know, you say, well, we had to get the beds up to sleep that night. We had to bolt the toilets down. All right. But we got settled and we were getting everything, seemed like everything was getting in the house. In the refrigerator, we opened the door on it to put some stuff in that we had brought, and it was there, but it didn't work no more. And nobody had known it. Nobody, they worked all around it and painted the walls. And a good man in our church said, no, we'll take care of this. And I don't know where at 8 o'clock at night that he came back with a brand new refrigerator from. But he left that place and he came back and he said, now listen, I didn't buy this for the church. I bought this for you. This is your refrigerator. You know, I hauled that thing all the way to Florida. It's still working. It ain't pretty anymore, but it's still working. You say, Brother Parsons, why do you remember that? Because I remember God always takes care of you. He just always does. And you may not think, you know, $300, $400, $500 refrigerator meant that much, but it did to my family that night. It did to us. And folks, God's been good to us all that way, every time. And again, he wants us to just be, if I could say it that way, just good to us. When we throw our weight and tip the scale in our favor, we don't always think about it. I want to think of it. I'd like to think about giving my life to the Lord Jesus Christ and tipping it in his favor. But really, folks, when it boils down to it, when I do something for his glory, it always turns out to be for my good. Every time. I want to do something tonight. I want you to take this home with you. Ushers, if you could bring those papers out. I would like for you to pray just a few minutes. We've got about 5 minutes left of our time together tonight. We're going to pass out these papers, and I just put down a little bit of a list of how you could pray for Restorathon. I put some of the DJ's needs, you know, just pray for their voice and things that happen. Put some of the equipment that you could pray for specifically. And I put those papers on there, and these men will hand it out to you. But I want you to take it with you tonight. And we may not get to pray together tonight, but I pray that you will take it. How many of you would tell me, Brother Parson, I'll take this paper, and over the next 3 days I'll be praying for the needs on this paper. At the bottom of that paper, you'll find the Soul Winning Marathon. And so you may think we're double dipping, but it's coming right behind this Restorathon. We're going to go down to Bethel Baptist Church, and it's at the bottom. But for the next 3 days, if you would pray. And just, you don't have to, you could add to this list. You could listen to somebody. You could hear something on Restorathon and write on the side something that you could pray for. But I believe God honors prayer. And I know this, that's part of your time. And you may not think, you know, well, I can't lay tile and carpet. I can't put windows in like I used to. I can't give like I used to. I can't do this. But I know one thing that God's people can do, and all of us can do, is pray. And it's something that, listen, that's a big part of the battle, folks. We serve a great God, but we also have an enemy. It's always looking for a crack or a chink or a hole in the fence where he can get in and cause trouble. And I pray that you'll take that paper, you'll pray, and you'll pray that the Lord will bind the devil. You know, we're this radio station, we always talk about the sound equipment and the sound men, that the devil's the prince in the power of air. Well, we got a little bit more wattage being pumped out on a radio station. Pray God would bind the devil, that he wouldn't get in all those electronics and in the computers. And I know he hides in there somewhere. And every once in a while, he jumps out. So pray that the Lord would bind him for those things. And then pray for these things. Pray for our DJs. I want to do this. We'll pray together and close the service out. I hope you'll take them papers with you. But I'm going to ask Brother Richard Hutchinson, if you would. I know he's passing out some papers. Are you way in the back, brother?
Yes, sir. I'm up top.
Okay. Make your way down. I didn't change my mind. Don't go changing my plans. Seeing that he has six cars, and he's going to go borrow a bunch of stuff at zero interest, I thought we'd have him close us out in prayer tonight. You pray for Restore-a-thon, Lord, and just ask the Lord to bless us. Amen. And we'll close out the service tonight.
All right, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for the message you brought to us tonight, Lord. And Lord, we just ask that you just have it to use it in our hearts, Lord, and take it in our lives, Lord. And Lord, we just ask that you be with Restore-a-thon these next few days, Lord. Just give us guidance and wisdom and knowledge for the day, Lord. And Lord, just have us to do things to your honor and your glory, Lord. And Lord, we just can't thank you enough for what you've already done for this church and this school and the college, Lord, and the radio station, Lord. We just can't thank you enough for everything that you've given us, Lord. And Lord, we just ask that you just be with us for the rest of this time frame, Lord, and just have us have a good night, Lord. We just ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.